Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Idea Fusion Media,
Hubler and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today.
Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
By the coach, Coach K.
Coach,
how you doing?
I'm doing great. It's the 27th of September, and Joe, I've officially been married. I don't want to make anybody think anything weird about that, but I've officially been married 27 years on the 27th, and I want to wish my lovely, smart, talented, beautiful, best friend of a wife, Janet Bartley Schultheis, happy anniversary. So it's a great Friday for me, Joe, and it's a great Friday for anybody listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Well, you know, people have always said that you hit a grand slam there, and you know, you went over and beyond what the woman that most of us were expecting as you were growing up, and you know, you got a good one there. So congratulations to Coach K and Coach J.
Yeah, well, it's more than a grand slam. It's the triple crown. It's the hitting streak that beats Joe DiMaggio. It's all those things. And I know our Indianapolis contributor Don Schultheis was married 26 years to his lovely wife Lisa Haas Schultheis on the 26th, which was yesterday. So if Don joins us for the rant, we can wish him a happy anniversary as well. September seems like a month that a lot of people got married, Joe.
Yeah, it does. And I kind of remember your weddings, and you know, you and Donnie's. I kind of parts of it, the later parts of the day were a little foggy, but I remember the ceremonies real well. Actually, you had one heck of a reader at your wedding.
I'm sure I did, Joe. I'm sure I did.
Hey,
Coach, Joe,
let me
ask you a question here. With everything going on in sports, I know a favorite of yours, Mariano Rivera of the Yankees, probably as long as I've been alive, one of the class acts of any of the professional sports. Humble, does his job. He was paid well, but he's 43 years old, has done an incredible job, the greatest closer of my generation and probably of all time. Hate to see him go, but kind of proud of the fact and happy about the fact that he's going out while he actually still can do it.
Yeah, he's done a great job. He's been, you know, just as you said, class act of, you know, you hear all about the bad things in sports these days, but, you know, when you talk about him, you know, all you got to think of is good things, unless you're a Boston Red Sox fan. Maybe not. But, you know, even a Boston Red Sox fan has got to appreciate what he's done. And I'll tell you what, watching last night when they took, you know, when they took him out for the last time, they let Derek Jeter and Andy Pettit come out and do it. And, you know, it was a very emotional scene. Being a Yankee fan, it was a very special scene. And, you know, when you think of Yankees, you think of Ruth, you think of Mano, you think of DiMaggio, you think of Derek. And I think Rivera's got to be going down as one of the all-time greats in Yankee lore as well.
Oh yeah, I think when you think of the great pitchers of the Yankees and like you just said, the elite players of all time, Mariano Rivera is going to be right there. I mean, truly, just phenomenal physically what he could accomplish, but even more than that, Joe, and I think in some of his recent interviews, and he doesn't do a lot of interviews, but in his recent interviews, he talked about the mental aspect, being able to let the win or the loss go, let the comments go, and just go on and stay focused on what you do. And I know to do that, you have to keep yourself insulated. I'm sure his family was great about focusing on their life and not what he was doing on the mound, not talking about it. All those things come together. And, of course, what I love most is he's got a strong spiritual faith, and I love that as well about Mariano Rivera. Class act. Some people say that he was also could have been a great center fielder. And I even read some comments the other day. They were hoping that Joe Girardi might play him in center field in Houston or something, and let him go out. What they said he could do as well as pitching, and that was play center field.
Yeah, that would have been a neat thing as well. You know, sticking with baseball, one thing I got to ask you about, and I was kind of glad Dusty Baker did this. I've seen all these wild card teams celebrate with champagne and all that, and you know, Ricky Bobby, what was the old saying? Ricky Bobby said, if you ain't first, you're last. You know, but I know they still got a chance, but, you know, Dusty didn't let the Reds break out the champagne once they clinched a spot in the playoffs. He said, well, wait. What did you think about – what's your opinion on the wild card teams going at it and celebrating?
I think it's a little silly, but you know what? Guys work hard every day. They're trying to make the playoffs. They make the playoffs. I'm not sure that a wild card team should celebrate until they actually win in the playoffs. But, you know, that's baseball, and that's the advent of the playoff rules, and that's where it's at. So everybody's going to have their opinion, and some of them are not going to be my opinion. But I don't think wild card teams should be celebrating. They haven't won anything.
I agree.
Joe, I'm getting that feedback again. I don't know if you've hit something or you got another line open or something.
Is that better?
Well, I have to wait and see when I talk.
Okay.
Yeah, that worked.
Okay.
That worked. But, yeah, I don't think they've won anything. So I think I would hold off on my celebration until I won in the playoffs. But that's what I would do. Hey, we've got coming on to the show Walt Ferber, and I know, Joe, you're going to handle that interview and talk about the undefeated Jasper football team. And Walt always has great insight to what's going on with the team. One of the most positive men in America, always has been. I know I loved when he was doing the games for me when I was coaching at Jasper. And we'll be along here with Walt Ferber in just a little bit, and you'll be handling that interview. Oh, I think Joe may have gone to get Walt, but yeah, Walt will be coming up. And speaking of topics in sports, I know we're going to be talking about there's a new push in class basketball in the state of Indiana. And if you're outside the state of Indiana, you might historically, for many, many years, Indiana was a one-class system. You had all the teams go into a blind draw or into their sectional, regional, semi-state, state finals draw, and you had a state champion. A decade or so ago, they changed that and went to a class system that would allow more teams to win sectionals, regionals, semi-states, and state championships. And honestly, it's been good for a lot of communities who struggled. At one time, I know that Forest Park High School just took off from there, and a number of other schools have been able to have tournament success. The Basketball Coaches Association is voting on a three-class system instead of a four, but I think they ought to go to something else. It would maintain some of the class system, but it would lead to a one-state champ. I tweeted my thoughts to IHSA Commissioner Bobby Cox yesterday, and I have not gotten any responses from Bobby Cox. I'm sure Bobby Cox thinks some crazy guy named Coach K is out there tweeting him. But I will talk about that later in the show and talk a little bit about my thoughts, Coach K's thoughts, on how they should revamp the Indiana High School basketball tournament. And what it would look like. And we'll talk about that later on in the show. Tons of things to talk about. A lot of stuff. Great guest, Tom Diener from the Big Ten Network will be on. Bill Somm will be here to talk about Indianapolis area high school football. We've got Kyle Kendall coming on to talk about his newly crowned Big 8 Conference undefeated soccer champs. But right now, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, you're going to be talking with Hall of Famer Walt Ferber and Joe Milligan will have that. We'll be talking Wildcat football at Jasper. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubelar's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubelar's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Ubelar and Son Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Sandy, but if I kill all the golfers, they're going to lock me up and throw away the key.
Golfers! The Greek kid, not golfers! The little brown furry rodents!
We can do that.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back to the Coach K and Joe Show. And, you know, this week's theme, you know, I've tried to put little movie clips in, and this week's theme is Caddyshack, and that's because Coach K and Jaybird Lori and Luke Puppy Dog Holes and Jeff the Goof Cochran played in the Brown County Golf Scramble for Athletic Department last Sunday. So that's a tribute to those four. But now we're joined by Jasper, play-by-play man on WITZ, Walt Ferber. Walt, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Joe. Always a pleasure.
I'll tell you what, Walt, was last Saturday special or what?
It was a good day all the way around. The big rivals day at Lucas Oil Stadium was everything it was meant to be, and Jasper ended up getting a very nice win. Anytime you get a win over Vincennes, it's a good day, one of the best rivalries in high school sports.
Yes, I'll tell you what, the Jasper offense and defense just kept clicking. Even as the substitutes came in, they just kept rolling along. And it was, to be a Jasper Wildcat was a great day, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, they were rolling out about every cylinder. They've been very businesslike with their approach this year. I mean, it's been an outstanding year. I think if there's one thing the coaches wanted was a little more emotion, but there was a lot of emotion by the Jasper players, but still a very workmanlike performance. The defense is getting better each and every game. Offense is diversified. Offensive line playing better. Defensive front is getting a better push. Young linebackers are playing better. It's hard to find something not good to say about their performance last Saturday at Lucas Oil Stadium.
Well, you know, Walt, I was talking to Coach Mock yesterday, and we were talking about, you know, in years past, people always said, stop the power play, you can stop Jasper. Mm-hmm. But this year, with all the weapons that they have, you said diversified offense. I mean, it totally is. You worry about the running game. You've got Nolan hitting, what, four, five, six different receivers. You concentrate on that. Then you've got two great running backs running the ball. You know, actually three. You know, you got Ian Songer at fullback. He's such a key to that position. And in years past, this is just totally different than most Jasper teams.
Well, it is. And not only are they diversified run and pass, they're diversified within the run and pass. Aarons has some quality tight ends. He's got, of course, Allison Hipsman, two of the best blocking and catching tight ends around. They give a big target. Zach Wood has shown speed at the wide receiver position. Ben Moore has proven capable of catching the ball out of the backfield. And as far as the running backs, the three-headed monster, you've got Songer and Hale that are able to pound it between the tackles, and Moore showing good speeds. And also from time to time, even Nolan Aarons has ran out. And there's depth in that running back position. We certainly saw that against Vincennes. Your son had an excellent outing at the time he was in the ball game, and of course Connor Geisler got himself a touchdown. So honestly, if we have to, this Jasper team could probably go six deep in running backs that any other team would be happy to have as their premier back. So it's kind of a nice problem to have.
Now this week it's homecoming, and we've got the Princeton Tigers coming in town. You know, the Princeton Tigers used to always be Princeton Tigers, doormat of the Big Eight. And, you know, that's kind of changed under the new regime over at Princeton, hasn't it?
Well, yeah, and, you know, but you go back to the 80s. Back in the 80s, Princeton was pretty good back then, but they have had a while that they have been dormant. I think the turnaround started when former college coach Blair Rovoff came down there. Several years ago, people started believing, and you've got Coach Shank that's taken over. And as I talked to him, that I interviewed him yesterday, he talked about the fact that they now have when they started everything, they had 27 kids total in the program, and now they've got 70 kids that are in the weight room each and every day. So they have depth that they have not had in a long time. They've also got a number of kids that really took their lumps as freshmen and sophomores starting, and now those guys are juniors and seniors. They've got experience. Always in the past, Princeton has been oversized. Their offensive line is even a little bigger than Jasper's. They have a premier running back, one of the best, possibly one of the best running backs in Southern Indiana, and Deion Hardeman, who's already pushing 1,000 yards for the year, and we've only had three games in for them. Colton Wilder has a nice receiver to throw to in Austin Clark, so they got some diversification. They started off with three wins, and they're going to be smarting after getting pounded last week by a good Gibson Southern team.
Now, Walt, before we let you go, I wanted to also bring up, I know we've got, I've tried to get the word out, and I know it's spread quite a bit, but, you know, Jasper fans and, you know, can listen to the Portcaster show, and then also to you live via the internet. Can you give us a little information on how these people need to access that?
Yeah, we're alive 24/7, 365. If you go to our website WITZAMFM.com, there'll be a bar there that says "Listen Live." All you have to do is punch it and You can hear us 24/7 with the news and the sports, and of course, all the Wildcat sports and all the high school sports and such. And it's been pretty good. I do want to give. I know you've got coming up momentarily. Kyle Tindall's going to be on the program. Outside of doing Jasper football, I've been lucky enough to do a number of the Jasper boys soccer games this year. Football team is great. Ranked second in the state. But this soccer team's ranked 18th. They're coming off a huge win, 2-0 against the Washington Hatchet. And it's hard to come up with the win up there at the Gwaltney Complex. So a little bit ahead, congratulations to Coach Kendall. And we'll see. They have an opportunity to have a nice long tournament run coming up.
Well, that's great to hear. I know Jasper Sports, you know, we're a proud group, and, you know, we support all our groups. It's great that Kyle's able to lead the soccer team to great heights. But, hey, Walt, it's been nice talking to you, and I thank you for joining us, and we'll have you on again real soon.
Hey, it's always a pleasure, Joe.
Okay, you've been listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee.
You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit IdeaFusionMedia.com. That's IdeaFusionMedia.com.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Right now, Ubelar's has a huge selection of awesome pre-owned vehicles. Cars, trucks, vans, sport utilities, in most all price categories. And they're all priced to sell. Some are certified and some have special low APRs, but best of all, they are all priced to sell. Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends for great pre-owned vehicles since 1929.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Hey, orange balls, I'll have a box of those. Give me a box of those naked lady tees and give me two of those. Give me six of those. Oh, this is the worst looking hat I ever saw. Well, you buy a hat like this, I'll bet you get a free bowl of soup, huh? Oh, it looks good on you, though.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. This is the Coach Ken Schulteis, and we are happy and excited to welcome our next guest, Coach Kyle Kendall of the Jasper Boys Soccer Program and the undefeated Wildcats and newly crowned Big 8 Conference Champions. Kyle, a pleasure to have you. You got to be having a great morning.
Yeah, it's hard to complain when you get a result like we got last night.
Yeah, and you got to be excited for the kids, you know, the players, the program in general. Anytime you play up at Washington, who traditionally, historically, has had a solid soccer program for years and years. They're much like, not at the level of a Memorial, but tradition-wise has had a strong program. You guys go up, conference championship, outright championship possibility for your Wildcats, and you come away with a victory.
Yeah, I always refer to the Jasper-Washington rivalry in kind of a different light. It's one of those things where, you know, for years we played them home and away back in the club days, and then, you know, through my career you played them pretty much regular season, and you were going to meet them in the sectional. And so, you know, during those times, they made a couple state finals appearances and things like that. And, you know, I've probably taken more lumps as a player and a coach to Washington than anybody else on the schedule, just because of playing them twice a year. But, you know, we've played really well up there the last few times. I think, you know, in the 8 years since I've been head coach, we've got two wins, a tie, and a loss up there. So we're above 500 on their field in the last eight years, and so we're pretty proud of that. And to come out and really just take control of the game last night, it wasn't one of those nail biters. It was one of those where we felt like it was just a matter of time until we got the result we were looking for, and the kids came out and played confident, which is nice to be able to do up there.
Well, Coach, I think it's awesome because I've watched you as you've come into the program. I actually watched you as a player coming
yep.
up. So to see you come back, take over the coaching reins, you do it with such a positive attitude. You're always enthusiastic. You're on social media promoting the program, promoting the kids. I mean, building a program is practice and getting kids out, but to build a successful program, it's also about letting people know what you're doing and building that feeling that it matters. And as the kids see the crowds grow, kids see on the, you know, they know they're on the radio now. The kids see that. It makes Jasper soccer just a little bit more special, a little bit more meaningful, and it gets the attention of the younger kids coming up that they want to play soccer at Jasper.
Yeah, we definitely see that. you know, the youth program's always been there, but we see that growing and growing. You're down on a Schrader complex, and you walk around and you see 600 kids playing on Sunday afternoon, and you think, how can we not be good for a long time? We've got, you know, the number of kids coming out. You know, I spent a couple years as a middle school coach and 5 years as a JV coach, so, you know, I knew what the feeder program was all about, and now to have, you know, once I took over the head coaching job, to have a JV coach like Rod Fortwindle, who's really put a lot of emphasis on the JV program, and, you know, the guy goes undefeated pretty much every other year, you know, and does a great job of just teaching those kids at the JV level how to win. I've got Greg Hessler at the middle school level developing that group, and, you know, they've got a couple middle school titles to show for it. And so, you know, the kids are learning to you know, win at an early age, and they're really developing well. And then, you know, coaches at the high school level as well. You know, Chris Fleck helps Rod with the JV, but then I've got a great game planner in Jeremy Schnaus, who's a former goalkeeper of ours, who really has just become a really good coach and a great assistant, and helps us put together our game plan week in and week out. And so all those things kind of feed to it. And, yeah, I joke with Coach Ernie. You know, you coached Ernie in high school, and he and I are good friends, and we, you know, for coaching two different sports, and he's got girls and I've got boys. But to talk about the way we build our programs and, you know, doing things the right way and putting together a team that's not just going to win today but win for years is really, you know, something we take pride in. And, you know, some of the decisions that we've made in the last couple of years are finally starting to pay off, and you know, toughening the schedule and making it more competitive to even make the team. Just little things like that pay off.
Well, just hearing you talk in that vein of a thought makes me realize that you get it. I know Ryan's always gotten it. I know that you get it. I knew that before we talked. But to hear you talk, for any of our listeners who want to coach or who are coaching, it really is about putting something together, a pipeline. You know, talent does cycle in and out, but if you can get the basics, the fundamentals, the foundations, the attitude down, you can overcome some of the lower loss of talent some years and still be competitive and still be successful. And it sounds like you've got that going. Let's go back to winning this conference outright. I know that when I went to Jasper to coach basketball, we had not won a Big 8 conference outright at all. Vincennes always seemed to be the nemesis there.
Right.
And I remember when we broke through and won that conference outright in boys basketball, even though it's not a sectional, regional, semi-state or anything, it's still a special feeling to know that you've gotten to a plateau, a level that hasn't been there before, and it's, again, something that you can feed to your program, feed to your kids, not just the ones that are there now, but coming forward, something to shoot for and do and repeat.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's one of those things when, you know, I've been a part of this program for the last 15 years, and to know how good some of the teams that came through here have been and weren't able to accomplish it. And, you know, in the old style of play in the Big 8, we were allowed to tie in Big 8 games, just like we can for most regular season games. And so we had some years where we were 5-0 going into the Washington game. They were 5-0, and we'd come away with a tie, and you shared the title. And then you've got situations like a couple of years ago where, you know, we beat Washington, but Washington beat Vincennes, and Vincennes beat us, and so you end up with a three-way tie. So to really come out and win it outright was big, but not just that. But, you know, we outscored our opponents 41-0 in the Big 8 this year. To literally shut out the entire Big 8 schedule is something that's definitely never been done in school history. And we've just, you know, been taking care of business, really. I mean, last night was a business trip. We talked about it from the minute we got on the bus. This is a business trip. We're going to come over here and take care of business. And, you know, the kids were very businesslike, you know, throughout the game.
I like that. I like that approach. I think that it lends itself to that discussion. You know, people say, well, you got to have fun. Well, I know your kids are having fun, and it's even a lot more fun when you're successful. But, you know, there is a time to focus. There is a time to work hard. There is a time to make it business. And then all those things come together, and you have fun in and off the field. You have fun in your victory. You have fun in growing together. You have fun in learning. I think there's just more to sports or anything you do than just say, well, are you having fun? Fun is just too simple of a term. It's all about the maturation, the growth, the program development, the individual development. And, Coach, I'll tell you what, you've done a great job. I've been watching you since you stepped on the field as a head coach. I know Jasper's soccer program has continued to grow before you came in. I was there in its early days when beating Washington just wasn't going to happen. Being competitive with Memorial just wasn't going to happen. And then you start to see it grow. And I remember people saying, well, will we ever be any good in soccer? I knew that that time was coming, and it was going to come sooner than later because of facilities, commitment, effort. And then you get players coming back, bringing their knowledge, bringing their competitive fire, becoming coaches, and it just feeds into success. And right now, I would say with an undefeated team, a team that's a conference champ, shutting out everybody, you know, you've got to be looking at those kids. Now, we got to keep them focused. Not just focused, but we got to make sure they understand there's going to be times when we got to go out and make sure we're ready to play every night out now.
Yeah, and I will correct you. We're not undefeated. We did lose to the number one team in the state right now. We did lose 3-2 to Columbus North in that second game out. But since then,
well,
we've rattled off 13
that's
in a row.
Pretty good anyway.
but we've rattled off 13 in a row since then. But yeah, I think you're right. It's a matter of looking at it and saying, you know, you want to learn from every game, and we keep talking about, you know, yeah, we got the result we want to get tonight, and it's a matter of preparing for tomorrow. But, you know, we looked at our schedule. You go on that, you know, 8-game, 9-game road or streak where we had won 9 in a row, and we really looked at these last 5 games as really good, challenging games. You've got Forest Park, Modern Day, Washington, Castle, and Bloomington South, and we're 3 games into that, and we've won all 3 of them. And we really looked at that as our ramp getting ready for the tournament. And so we're really concentrating on, you know, coming out, getting better every night, using those 5 games to prepare for the tournament. And, you know, if we get the results in those games we want to get, you know, we'll be tournament ready.
Well, Coach, before we let you go, I know you'd want to give every player on your team credit, but if you can let our listeners know a few of the young men that have helped you get to this point, and just give them a little pub.
Well, yeah, I tell you what, it really goes 11 – you know, all 11 players that are on the field any given play. I mean, people are asking, is this a defensive team? Is it an offensive team? Well, when you've outscored your opponents, whatever it is, you know, 60-1 in the last 10 games, it's happening on both sides of the ball. You know, we've got Caleb Williams is the guy that most people know. He's an All-State honorable mention from last year, so he's our leading goal scorer with 21. But you've got guys like Caleb Hurst and Nathan Helsley putting goals in like crazy up there. Our midfield, Luke Ackerman's one of our leaders there and just really locked down our midfield. We've got an exchange student in Gustav Broden who has been a really nice addition to the team. And then, you know, when you've got 12 shutouts in a row or 12 out of the last 13 games have been shutouts, you know, you got to talk about the defense. Derek Schmidt is our leader in the back, center defender, and just locks things down. Tyler Haskins and Logan Witte on either side of him are very businesslike, take care of business, and really underappreciated players when you look at what we've done. And then Cameron Craven, you know, he's started 10 games this year and has 10 shutouts or something. I mean, it's just unbelievable. He hasn't given up a goal all year. And, you know, when we do have breakdowns in the midfield or the defense, we know that Craven's going to bail us out. So, you know, the kids have just done a great job. And, you know, there's role players. Last night's game came down to, you know, a guy like Chris Menjivar coming in and scoring a goal off the bench. That's a huge goal for us. And Menji's got a lot of goals, but he scored a lot of them late in games when we're already up. But he's got a couple really important goals here in the last couple games that I think are really big confidence builders for him.
It's great to hear. And you know, we definitely want to have you back, Coach. And you know, the one thing that I really appreciate, I take the title coach very seriously. I think that a person puts in a lot of time and effort and cares to earn that title, and I'm very proud to call you Coach Kendall. And I think you've done a great job. I think the program should be proud of where it's at, and I know you'll keep them focused as you go into tournament time.
All right. Well, thanks, Coach. We appreciate it.
Well, great talking to you, Coach Kendall. We'll have you back again. When we come back, we're going to be talking some high school football out of Indianapolis area with Bill Somm. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true? or has fast-talking fine print.
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubler's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubler's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Ubler & Sons Chevy, Cadillac, and Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
No, actually, I'm a rich millionaire. You see, my doctor told me to get out and carry golf bags a couple of times a week.
You're a funny kid, you know. What time you do back in Boys Town?
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. It's the Coach, Ken Schulteis. Coach K and Tom Deanhart will be joining us a little bit later on the show. But first, we have William Billy Bilsom, Indianapolis correspondent, everything NCAA. But we're going to be talking some Indianapolis high school football out of the Circle City today. Bill, it's a good day to be a football coach or a football player.
Coach, how are you? This is great to hear you, to hear your voice, and it's a beautiful day up here in Indianapolis. Perfect day for football, and perfect day to be a player and a coach. We're halfway done with the season, and I'm getting a little nervous already.
Well, we're a couple weeks since we've talked to you, Bill, and I know a lot's going on, and obviously your son Zach's playing for Cathedral, and there's a lot of good football that goes along with Cathedral. They play a great schedule, but there's also some other great teams up there in the Indianapolis area. Why don't you just take control, buddy, and just drive us down the road of Indianapolis high school football?
Well, you know, Coach, this is a really interesting year. A couple weeks ago when we first started prepping for the season, I think we kind of put four, five, six teams on our radar of saying, hey, there may be some really great football teams up here. I think the fun part of Indianapolis football this year is that it's, I would call it, very competitive football. There's a whole bunch of teams that are 3-2 and 2-3 that I would still suggest to you are quality high school football teams. But I think the leader of the pack, without a doubt, not only in this area, but probably the state of Indiana, is Center Grove. They're 5-0. They're obviously number one in 6A. They're obviously number one in the ratings of all the high schools in the whole state with the Sagarin and Harrell ratings. They're just very, very good. They're very methodical. They're very big. They're very physically tough. The second-ranked team is Pike. Now, they're struggling. Pike is 2-3. You know, they have the great wide receiver Booth, who is committed to Tennessee. But they're really struggling. They've lost three games by a total of, I think, 6-7 points. One of them was on the last play of the game. So they're still a very scary team with a very disappointing record. So Pike is somebody I think we got to watch out for. Probably at the beginning of the season, we're sort of thinking they're 4-1 at this point. Warren Central actually may be the surprise because they're 4-1. They've won four straight. They lost coming out of the box. As you and your listeners know, they have a new head coach, a coach from Warren Central, who won the state championship last year. But Warren Central's coming on strong, and they are 4-1. So those are kind of the four three, four top teams. Carmel, you know, Carmel's 3-2. I don't think they've got it figured out yet. They also have a great wide receiver whose dad is a Colts coach, and that young man's going to UCLA, I believe. So there's some – the talent continues up here, but I think there's – the really good teams are still trying to figure it out, which I think could make for a really interesting first and second round in the tournaments. You have a couple surprise teams, probably two teams that we didn't even talk about the first time we visited. One of them is Brebeuf. It's a private Catholic Jesuit high school up here in Indianapolis. They're 4-1 and actually should be 5-0. They lost on a late drive by Tech near the end of the game, and which put them at 4-1. But Brebeuf plays Ron Colley tonight, and for the city of Indianapolis, that's going to be a great rivalry game. That's going to be a great Catholic game. And Mick Ressler, the new head coach over at Brebeuf, is very excited to be in that game. You know, he's played Ron Colley a lot as the offensive coordinator at Cathedral, so he's bringing his new team in there that's 4-1. The other surprise team, not surprise coach, but surprise team, is Southport, down on the south side of Indianapolis, and they're 5-0. Billy Peoples is the head coach there. He's been there about 7 years. Really a great turnaround coach, really a great mentor to the young people in the Southport area, and they're very, very excited down there. Southport goes to Franklin Central tonight, who's 3-2. So those two teams, Brebeuf and Southport, I would call kind of the surprise teams of the year up there in Indianapolis. Another team that would borderline on surprise would be Westfield. They're on the north side of Indianapolis, and they're 4-1. They're a pretty good 5A football team. And then we always have to spend at least 10 seconds on Cathedral. Cathedral's 2-3. I think everybody gets tired of saying they play a difficult schedule, but they do. Tonight, Trinity travels to Louisville, Kentucky, and plays Trinity High School. So that's going to be a difficult game, but a good, challenging game. And I think the kids at Cathedral think that they have an opportunity to win that game and set things on forward for the tournament in the coming weeks. So that's kind of a beginning point to kind of summarize where we are here in Indianapolis at this point.
Bill, let me ask you about a couple of other teams up in that area. I know that if you look at Class 2A, Mater Dei out of the Evansville area, that the area our show is based out of, looks like, well, they're number one in that class in the coaches poll. And as I look at it, I look below them and I see Rensselaer Central, and then I see Indianapolis Cecina and Indianapolis Ritter, and then you have Lafayette Central Catholic, who probably moved up because of the success rule, I'm not sure. I've seen Mater Dei. I think they're solid, but my comments to you would be, when we talk about Cecina and Ritter, where would you rate them on par of athletic ability and ability to compete with some of the 5-4 and 3A teams in Indianapolis?
Well, that's first of all, you're correct about Lafayette. They did get called up due to their success rate. Really, really interesting question about Ritter and Cecina, and I think it's two separate answers. I think you're going to find that Ritter could be in a football game with quite a few 4A teams and be very competitive. And the first reason, and number one reason, is because they have a really, really fine quarterback. He has a great arm. He's able to get to the corner. He's a great runner. He has a strong arm. He has a good set of wide receivers. So Ritter's going to be in every football game they play. Now, they are 3-2, which is a bit of a disappointment for Ritter because they've been so successful lately. Cecina, that's a little bit different. You know, they just don't have the numbers. So I don't think that you would find them competitive against a 4- or 5A team. Nothing against those kids, awesome kids, but, you know, just a ton of kids going both ways and not quite as much talent to choose from. Cecina will make another run in 2A. They're very well coached. That coach has been there forever. But if comparing those two, I would always probably take Ritter just because of the quarterback's going to keep you in the game and make a special play at some point.
Yeah, and down in Evansville right now, when I look at the SIAC, and we've talked on other shows about this, the talent level is a little bit down when you look at the overall breadth of the teams. And the modern day is probably the best team in Evansville, which makes you wonder a little bit because they are only 2A. Coach Gable does a great job, and his team will be ready, but I wonder if they have the overall lines and athletic ability to compete when they get up against some of those teams. And that's why I was asking the question about Cecina and Ritter. I'm sure Lafayette Central Catholic has a solid group as well. When I want to jump up into 4A real quick, and I know that Chittard sits in 4A. Dwenger, who's always has a solid team, is in 4A. Columbus East, who we've talked about in the past, they're sitting in 4A with Jasper. And I know, I think it was last year we talked that maybe they had some solid kids, but maybe not the speed or quickness to compete with the Cathedrals and teams up in the Circle City. Where would you place, with what little you may know about Columbus East this year, did they have a lot of returning players? I mean, what's the story on Columbus East, and what should people in the southern part of the state, how should they look at Columbus East sitting at number one in 4A?
Well, I'll tell you, Coach, you did summarize them correctly from last year. Cathedral went down and beat them on their turf, and I think Columbus East really thought that was a year they could beat Cathedral, and that actually at the end of the game it turned out to be pretty handily won by Cathedral. But I will tell you this, the message to the people in the South is, I don't want to play Columbus East this year. You better buckle up. They are big up front, a tad slow, but big up front, but they have a great tailback. And that kid is going to be a Division I tailback. He's only a junior. I'm glad he wasn't a junior last year because he made some sophomore mistakes in that playoff game. But Columbus East is the real deal. Are they really strong enough to say that they're a runaway winner and should be number one? No, because they just haven't proven themselves yet. They are 5-0, but they don't play the most difficult regular season schedule, and I think that hurts them when they get in the playoffs. But Columbus East has a Division I tailback, and anytime you have a Division I kid at one of those specialty positions, much like you in the sport of basketball, you're always in the game if you have that quality athlete. Chittard's been a little bit up and down this year. They don't have quite the athletic talent they've had in the past, but, you know, they're a machine. They have great tradition. The kids believe deeply. And they were upset first week of the season by Brebeuf. It was first time, and I think when we thought it was the first time in like 44 years. So there is good football in 4A, really good football. But if I was in the South, I'd just soon Columbus East get beat early. I don't want to play that tailback.
I kind of was thinking in those regards, and then I'll throw another team out at you, and I know you see them at tournament time, and you may just be up on them a little bit, and that would be a perennial team as far as tradition and successful, Fort Wayne Dwenger in 4A as well.
You know, they're undefeated, and they, you know, the folks on your shows that follow football know that last year was a complete out of character year for Dwenger. They had a more losses than wins last year, but they're 5-0. What happened last year was they lost their first two quarterbacks, so they were going with a young kid, a quarterback, good kid, but just, you know, was not prepared to play that schedule. But Dwenger is now 5-0. Out of all schools in Indiana, they're ranked 28th. You know, they have a rating of 77, which is above many 5A and 6A schools. So Dwenger's a well-coached machine, and that 4A is going to be fun to watch when you get to a little bit past the sectionals, because of the schools that are in it, there's great tradition, and there's some quality records and some quality athletes.
And before we let you go, Bill, I did want to talk a little bit, and I know our listeners, you know, if you're in this part of the state, you just got a great scouting report on the Indianapolis area, and if your team's going to be moving up and you think they got a chance to move through some of the tournament, well, you're finding out what you're going to run into. And these teams we're talking about are strong teams. But I'd like you to maybe touch on a few players that maybe our listeners, both in-state and out-of-state, need to kind of put the name in the back of their minds and be thinking about either seniors or possibly underclassmen that Bill Somm is seeing and saying, These guys are going to be players.
Well, I mentioned at the top of the show the kid Booth at Pike. He's one of the best in the nation, quite frankly, and he's committed to Tennessee. I noticed yesterday that Tennessee has they're really struggling this year, but they do have a new coach. They have a top five recruiting class, so they're obviously going with speed, and they're going to throw the ball around a little bit, just like the coach did at Cincinnati. So I think Booth is a kid that you really have to watch. The other kid that you really have to keep your eye on, not only for fun during this high school career, but as it's coming to an end way too quickly, is the kid at Cathedral, number 25. He is just special. You know, Terry is probably one of the fastest wide receivers in the United States of America, not just Indiana, not just Indianapolis. He actually won the Nike contest out of 15,000 kids in the various drills that they did. He is just special to watch on Friday night. Cathedral's now put in the Wildcat, so Terry's not only playing punt returner, kick returner, he's also playing quarterback, he's playing wide receiver, he's playing running back, and he's an all-around football player.
Where would you put him as in comparison to another pretty good all-around football player from Cathedral and Kofi Hughes? How would you compare those two?
Apples and oranges, and I'll tell you why, because Kofi's a really good athlete, and he can do a lot of things, but you can't stop Terry. You can't cover Terry. You can't run with him. He can always get behind you. He's got great hands. He runs great routes, and I'll just say that Terry is one of the smartest, most disciplined athletes I've ever been around. He comes from a great family. Terry is one of those kids that's never going to get in trouble. He's going to be early to meetings and coming out of them after everyone else. He's the kid that's going to be the last guy off the practice field. I'll tell you what. He's going to have a special career at Ohio State University. At a minimum, I can see him as a punt returner, kick returner, and helping those Buckeyes be very, very successful. He'll be back. He'll be playing the Hoosiers, and we'll probably be talking about him in another year or two.
Well, speaking of the Hoosiers, you were down to see them last weekend, and Bill, I guess we'll switch into college since you brought up Ohio State. Your thoughts? Obviously, the defense for Indiana is a good year behind as far as developing talent, and the offense sputtered all the way. A lot of people were on the defense last weekend. Man, I didn't think the offense helped the cause at all and made the glaring weaknesses of defense even more apparent. But your thoughts on the Hoosiers at this point in the season?
Well, Coach, you kind of hit it right on the head, and I don't say this at all joking, but because I think it's a total package when you're talking about IU. You got to give the administration credit down there. I think game day is now fun, to be quite honest. I think they've really put a lot of energy into it. They have the students coming. They have good opportunities outside the stadium and inside the stadium, and it's a good entertainment value for your dollar, and it's a good place to bring your kids. Having said that, boy, they're not ready for the Big Ten yet. They just, I mean, it's frustrating. I mean, I know they're working hard. I probably know 6-7 of those kids personally from their high school careers, and I know how hard they're working down there. But, you know, in Missouri, what's the scary thing to me is when we're all done here at the end of the season, I'm afraid Missouri is going to be about a middle-of-the-pack SEC school, and watching that game, there's just a whole different level of athlete between Missouri and Indiana. So people are just going to have to be patient. Coach, you know this one. It's not about the X's and O's. It's about the Jimmys and the Joes. So they just got to keep finding athletes.
and they really do. And that's what's so frustrating, especially in the games where the offense is clicking. The defense is just trying to hold up. It's trying to stay in. They got some good individuals, but they need a few more of those guys like you're talking about. A quick thing on the NCAA with your background in the NCAA for many years, how things settled out with Johnny Football. Basically, personally, I was happy with it. I thought seen where we're at with everything and what the NCAA has been doing with selling jerseys and team memorabilia and paraphernalia and all those things. They kept him out of a half. Just quickly, your thoughts on today, yesterday, and tomorrow dealing with the NCAA and maybe the fallout with Johnny Football and how that was looked at.
Sure, sure. Just a kind of a stream of consciousness. As an aside for the high school football fans, it is the time of year within the recruiting calendar that you're now going to see college football coaches at games. So that's kind of fun, and you're welcome to go up and talk to them. They obviously cannot talk to the player or the player's family, but it's time for – it's a part of the recruiting calendar where college coaches are out on Friday nights, and they're also getting into the schools usually later in the week on Thursdays and Fridays, and it's also the time of the year where they're telephoning our kids now again. But, gee whiz, you know, the controversy continues in football. You probably have already talked about this on your show or will be, but EA Sports, you know, is the people that did the college video game NCAA football video, and they closed up business yesterday just from a political standpoint and a lawsuit standpoint because of the likeness issue. And that was a major – well, first of all, a lot of young people love playing those games, but that was a major fundraiser for everybody involved. And to think 3 years ago or 2 years ago that somebody would be able to shut that down is just mind-boggling. Also, I would encourage your listeners to Google Jim Delaney's comments from yesterday, where he kind of takes an interesting position, where he said, hey, we're not a minor league for the pros. You know, we are what we are. We shouldn't change. We need to find a little bit more money for the kids, but we're not going to pay them. If you want to play pro, go be a pro. And Jim Delaney, as you know, and your listeners, is the commissioner of the Big Ten, and is a real mover and shaker in college athletics. Johnny Manziel, I think, it was handled correctly. You know, we can all take our pot shots at the NCAA, but those folks, they do have personal integrity. You know, if they can't prove something, they say it. And if it's not the truth, they don't go make it up. So I think Johnny probably got what he got. And frankly, my hopes is, you know, he's still a 20-year-old kid. Just go play football, go to class, and have fun and get an education. And he needs to calm down a little bit and just kind of keep his focus. But this is a controversial time for the NCAA. If there are not changes made, you will definitely see the BCS schools leave and do their own thing. I believe at the end of the day, change will be made and everyone will stay together. But for the first time in your and I's lifetime, it's the real deal about people thinking about moving on.
Well, I've said it before on the show, and I'll say it again. And, Bill, you know this as coaches, when you tell your players, you know, how many times can you tell them, you know, you need to make an adjustment or we'll make it for you. And I think the NCAA is getting to that point where either they make some adjustments or somebody or some group is going to step in and make it for them, whether it's leaving or whether the government, you know, our Congress has nothing else to do, gets involved in something like that. But the NCAA, you know, now they're giving Penn State scholarships back, which was a farce to begin with, in my opinion. That's my opinion, listeners. Didn't say anybody else. Now USC's knocking on the door saying, what about us?
Yep.
I'm sure Ohio State's not happy that other people are getting breaks and they didn't. And when you look at what happened at Ohio State, and I'm sad that Coach lied about to the NCAA about it. But when I look at all this stuff, I think – you know, the house needs to get in order pretty – I know it's a huge job. I know it's a huge job, and you know it 100 times more than me. But, man, you got to get that thing in order before somebody comes and gets it in order for you.
Well, it's like everything else in life. You got to step back, look in the mirror, self-evaluate. This machine of the NCAA has been rolling for about, you know, 75 years. There needs to be flexibility. And it was working well under Miles Brand, whether you like him or not, no matter, set the whole Bobby Knight thing aside. You know, he was all about flexibility. He was all about progressiveness. And the whole thing needs to be reevaluated. We got to take care of these kids. It's one way or the other. We got to make sure that they're getting their education. So they got to stay focused. They being the administrators, and they've got to be flexible so people can do their own thing. And hopefully that'll happen. I do have one quick aside Just beautiful day up here in Indianapolis. People like me and you and others are all fired up about football. We're about halfway through. But I just wanted to make sure that people in the South there knew that everything is normal in Indiana. The lead story on the sports page is a column about high school basketball. So it's,
yeah, and I'm going to be talking about that a little bit later and my thoughts on that, but you're right.
It's
September, all good.
Coach. It's September, Coach. It's football season.
I know it. I you know what? I love that you brought it up. And as always, we never have enough time for Bill Sahm. I love talking to him. The guy knows a lot of stuff, and he knows how to communicate. Thanks for being with us, Bill.
Have a great day.
Well, you've been listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac, Toyota Scion in Jasper. We've all heard the commercial, 15 minutes could save you 15. Folks, let me tell you, it won't take 15 minutes for us to save you money. Give Ubelars a call at 1-800-937-USA1 or visit us online at ubelar.com. We'll tell you the facts, treat you right, no bait and switch, and best of all, we will save you money. Ubelar Chevy Cadillac, Toyota Scion in Jasper, where customers send their friends for a lifetime of savings in 15 minutes or less since 1929.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Yes. This is a hybrid. This is a cross, bluegrass, Kentucky bluegrass, featherback bent, and Northern California sensimilla. The amazing stuff about this is that you can play 36 holes on it in the afternoon, take it home, and just get stoned in a bejesus belt.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and joined by the coach, and also joined by Big Ten Network featured writer, Tom Dienhart. Tom, Purdue's got a game this weekend. IU doesn't. That's just the way I like it. And so give us some insight on Big Ten football.
Well, I tell you what, Joe, you're right. First of all, it's a weird weekend in the conference. There's only four games. There's six teams that are off. So we have two conference games and then two non-conference games, Joe. You alluded to one of them, Northern Illinois at Purdue. It's homecoming in West Lafayette, too, which is kind of bizarre. Homecoming versus a non-conference team in late September. But nonetheless, Purdue, I guess at this point, if you're a Boilermaker fan, your hands are in the air, you're scratching your head. And, you know, other than the fact Purdue can't play offense, can't play defense, everything's great, right? I guess I'm not sure what direction to go with Purdue. I mean, there's dysfunction on both sides of the ball. And Joe and Coach K, I mean, you guys know I've been around Purdue football since about the mid-70s, and I know it may be premature, but I think this may be the worst Purdue team I've seen in my lifetime.
Oh, as an IU fan, you don't know how much I love hearing that, Tom.
you guys, length of the pain and suffering is awfully long, too, so we can all sympathize.
It really proved itself out last weekend. The Hoosiers proved to me that we looked like we take a step forward, and then we don't take a step back. We take two steps back. And there is frustration for all of us, but I wasn't surprised. Well, I was really surprised at the final score, But I knew, Tom, that Purdue could be going into a beehive, especially with what happened to Wisconsin in that just ridiculous ending and the poor officiating, you know, tabbed them with a loss that should have been a win. I figured they were going to come out and want to show people, you know, we're a better team than what happened to us in that game.
No doubt about it, Coach K. You know, Wisconsin, I'm sure, felt jilted. And you give them credit, right, for not getting beat twice by one game. They put that Arizona State loss behind them. And they didn't just beat Purdue. They absolutely destroyed Purdue. I mean, 388 yards rushing. I don't remember the numbers, but the last three games, Wisconsin has, like, 1,400 yards rushing on Purdue. I mean, the programs aren't even in the same stratosphere. So you're right, great win by Wisconsin, which, of course, sets up their huge game Saturday at Columbus, Ohio, Leaders Division Showdown. Let's go ahead and call it what it is, guys. It's really a de facto Leaders Division Championship game. Of course, Penn State's on probation. They can't win it. And we know Indiana, Purdue, and Illinois aren't going to win it either. So this is really going to set up the winner for, you know, to be in the catbird seat, so to speak, to represent that division. And, of course, you know what, in some ways, the longer I think about this game, write about it, read about it, the more I maybe get an inkling to Ohio State just may really take care of business here. I just think they want to send a statement. You know, Wisconsin's been the last three Rose Bowls. They have what Ohio State wants. And Braxton Miller's back. And Meyer's going to have this team jacked up, I think, for that primetime game. And, again, like I said, Wisconsin's good, but I think Ohio State really wants to try to send a message here. Maybe could win this thing. Not blow them out, maybe win a little convincingly.
Well, just going with that theme of Ohio State and Wisconsin, and Tom, I've got a question here from one of our listeners. His name's Bill, and he says, what does Tom think about is there a quarterback controversy potential? What have we got at Ohio State as far as other than the fact they've got two great quarterbacks?
Yeah, Coach K and Joe, it's an interesting dynamic, isn't it? I mean, on one hand, you go, wow, look at that great depth Ohio State has. Boy, they can put Kenny Guyton in there and not miss a beat. Now they have Braxton Miller back. It's just a great situation, isn't it? And it may not be. I mean, this can maybe disrupt chemistry. You know, Guyton's a popular guy. I'm not saying Braxton Miller is. Guyton voted to be a captain. He wasn't even a starter. This is before the season. So he's a leader, and he's respecting that locker room. He picked up the ball the last three games, led him to victories. It's hotter than heck. Now you're going to pull the kid. And I understand Braxton Miller is Braxton Miller, the reigning Big Ten MVP. For goodness sakes, his credentials speak for themselves. But still, it can be a delicate situation. And you know, Meyer said he wants to play both these guys. Well, we'll see if he puts his money where his mouth is. But again, it's going to be interesting to see how they handle that dynamic moving forward here. And again, you do wonder, like I said, about maybe the chemistry issues disrupting that offense, which is really hitting on all cylinders right now.
And you know, I see the big word distraction with this, and only I don't know that there should be, but you know how fans are. They're fickle. We're fickle. Media's fickle.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Miller starts struggling a little bit, or he's slow, or the offense isn't clicking right away. Time to bring in the other guy. I mean, I really do see, as much as it's great to have the depth, as much as it's great to have the talent, like you said, Tom, I see that big word distraction just looming around there.
You're right, Coach K. What happens if they come out and go 3-and-out the first three times they have the ball? You don't think there's going to be some hooting and hollering from the stands to put Kenny Guyton in? You know, we're already seeing some of that in Michigan, I guess. Some people are kind of rattling the chains, say, hey, why don't we take a look at our true freshman quarterback, Shane Morris, here. So you're right, Coach K. I mean, you've been around a long time as a coach. You know how fickle fans are. So that's going to be interesting to see, again, like I said, if that Buckeye offense stumbles out of the block Saturday night, how the fans will react. Not that the Ohio State coaches care how the fans react, but it'll still be interesting to see how the fans react. And I guess still subsequently see what the coaching staff does and when they do, and if they do, and do you play Kenny Guyton?
You know, as we look a little bit more at the Big Ten and Iowa, you know, started the season, Kirk France, longtime coach there, maybe the longest tenured coach in the Big Ten, I'm not sure.
Yeah, he is.
Started out with some questions.
Yeah.
And looks like Iowa's at least playing better, and they have a game with Minnesota. I didn't realize that is a big rivalry and a traveling trophy or something like that. Talk to us a little bit about the Iowa-Minnesota matchup.
Well, it's Floyd of Rosedale, the Bronze Pig. I mean, it's a huge rivalry between Iowa and Minnesota. It has been for years. And you know, this year, these teams are kind of trying to climb over each other in the Legends division. Most people think they're going to try to – they're basically trying to avoid the cellar. And, again, we have 4-0 Wisconsin, 3-1 Iowa, which has won its last three games. Each team's got some momentum. And each team's kind of looking in the mirror. They're very similar offensively. Physical ground games, still developing quarterbacks, defenses that have been well stopping the run, and good special teams. So, again, they're almost mirror images of one another. What's going to be the difference here? Well, I think Minnesota's home field will help it. And I tell you what, I think when it comes down to it, Minnesota is going to be able to, I think, hit a couple more big plays in the passing game that are going to be the difference in them winning the close game. That would move Minnesota to 5-0, and the next week they go to Michigan for the Little Brown Jug game. So, again, it's got to be a close ball game, but, again, it'll be fun to watch the quarterbacks, and, again, in particular, Mitchell Leidner, I think, for Minnesota could be a guy who hits a few big plays in the passing game to give the Gophers that win.
You know, Tom, there's been a lot of talk about paying players or giving them a bigger stipends or whatever it might be, and we've got all kinds of things swirling around with the NCAA, Penn State getting scholarships back, which we'll talk about in just a second, USC knocking at the door, all these kind of things going on. And Bill Somm, one of our contributors for Indianapolis High School Football and a former employee of the NCAA, was just on before you, and he talked about Jim Delaney's comments that the Big Ten is not a minor league for pro football. We are what we are. We're college football. Is there this concern that if we go to paying these players that we're becoming a minor league system, or is there a sense that, you know, is the NCAA, without realizing it, is it becoming a minor league system for the NFL?
Well, I think in a lot of ways it has been a minor league for the NFL ranks for some time. You know, this issue has so many different angles to it, so many different tentacles to it. I mean, you could discuss it, dissect it for hours and write dissertation papers on it as well, as far as pros and cons of taking the lid off this, I guess, Pandora's box and what's it going to do to the sport. I guess I'm still sort of torn. In some ways, I'd like to see the players get a little bit more of a stipend, or at least be able to cash in on their likeness during the course of their career. I mean, maybe set up a trust fund where they can access that money afterwards. You know, there's been a lot of interesting things written by Dan Wetzel of Yahoo Sports in recent years about the whole, I guess he calls it the sham, which is amateur athletics within the collegiate ranks. It's an outdated model, he just basically thinks it's bunk. So, again, does that mean we should pay players? I guess I don't know. Would it lead to other issues? Again, I guess there could be negative ramifications. But you like to see some of these players, particularly the sports that produce the revenue guys, football players, men's basketball players, those are the guys who pay the bills at the universities. It's because of those sports that there's a volleyball team, a cross-country team, the swimming team can go to Florida for spring break. Well, why shouldn't those guys who really pay the bills be getting a little bit of extra dough and some form of a stipend during the course of their collegiate careers? I think it's something worth debating and talking about.
Yeah, again, we're talking with Tom Deanhart. You can follow him on Twitter, BTN Tom Deanhart. Tom, talking about the NCAA again and giving some scholarships, looking at the scholarship situation that was taken away from Penn State, giving those back. It just looks like a mea culpa to me. I mean, they can't be, mm-hmm. I mean, Penn State can't be the only school in the history, and maybe this has been done at other schools, and you can correct me on that. They can't be the only school that followed the rules. Is this more of a, you know, we may have jumped in a little bit too quick, and, you know, we're going to kind of smooth this over. Penn State's doing what they're supposed to do, and we're going to try to clean up a little bit of maybe our quick hand and give these scholarships back. I mean, what about USC? What about these other schools?
I think you encapsulated what went on at Penn State pretty well there, Coach K. I think I like to call it a rush to punishment. The NCAA was guilty of a rush to punishment or a rush to judgment there with Penn State. Now, this was an unprecedented case at Penn State. There had been nothing like this in the history of collegiate athletics. So, you know, I guess the NCAA felt it required unprecedented, you know, sanctions. And they were extremely punitive. And, again, they came awfully quick without any due process at all. And like you said, Coach K, in some ways maybe this was a mea culpa. Time tends to soften things in life for everybody, gives you time to contemplate, think a little bit more of your actions and what's going on. And I think that may be a little bit of the case here, in addition to Penn State's compliance being, of course, outstanding, I guess. And they realize, hey, you know what, maybe the hammer was a little bit too heavy here. So, again, I think those were some dynamics in action for that news this week. You know, as far as USC goes, as far as Ohio State goes, they were given due process. They did have hearings. They did have a chance to rebuttal and sit across the table from the NCAA and answer their charges face-to-face. And, again, that didn't take place for Penn State. So I think that's a big difference there. But, again, and the Penn State thing was interesting. I'll tell you what, that's a godsend for the program, isn't it? I mean, it looked like it was going to be in the skids for maybe a 10-year period with the scholarship sanctions. No more. The suffering won't be as long. You got to think Bill O'Brien is more inclined to stay now. The job has become more attractive. And I think within the next year or two, you're going to see that bowl ban lifted too.
Well, those are all good points. I really like your term. You know, a lot of people say rush to judgment, but I like your term, rush to punishment. And it was an area that they'd never seen before. And I think that's what shocked me a little bit about the NCAA. As long as they've been around, with all of the things, Tom, that they've seen over the years go on, that they were so quick to rush in and mm-hmm. pile on. I call it piling on. Instead of sitting back, letting the judicial process, and we're not talking about the NCAA process, we're talking about the full-blown judicial process, take its course, see what information comes out of it, and then step in and see where they really need to make a move. And I know hindsight's 20/20, and listeners are saying, yeah, Coach K, it's easy for you to say it now. But really, if you knew me then, you'd have heard me say the same thing, and I really like your term, rush to punishment. Tom, we're a few games into this Big Ten season, four games, whatever. I know that some teams are pretty much showing what we thought they would, other teams not. I still have this thing about Northwestern. I like them. I don't know why. I just like them. You're the expert here, and I mean that because you're around the league. You're around these teams. You get the information flowing. Tell me a little bit more about this Northwestern team and what we can expect.
Well, you're not alone in liking the Wildcats. A lot of people are enamored with Pat Fitzgerald's squad this year. And again, there's a lot of reasons, again, to embrace this team and think it can do some big, big things. Most of it's on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, there's really no area of concern there. Two quarterback systems well documented. Depth of running back. You know, Venrick Mark, 1,000-yard rusher, has hardly even played this year, and you wouldn't even know it because of the depth. Trayvon Green and Trumpy coming on. Mark should be back, I think, for the Ohio State game on October 5th. And, again, the receivers are deep. The offensive line had three new starters, and that unit's come along as well. They just got to try to keep Kane Colter healthy. Remember, he got a concussion against Cal and has had a history of getting dinged up because of his style of play. But anyway, the offense has been everything as advertised and then some. Just watch the defense, guys. That's going to be the unit that tells the tale for how great this season can be in Evanston. They've got some vulnerability at one of the cornerback spots. They really struggle to stop the pass. I think they're 11th in the Big Ten. And right up the middle, they have a couple of new tackles, and they've been vulnerable up the middle with running the football. So the defense has not been a steel curtain. I thought it would be a little bit better this year. it's still early, I guess, but again, it's going to have to play much better, specifically, I think, up front, if they want to really make a run at that Legends Division title. Now, they're one of the teams off this week. Again, October 5th, keep that day circled. The Saturday night game, I'm going up to Evanston for this one. Ohio State at Northwestern. I mean, guys, could this be a preview of the Big Ten Championship game?
Well, I mean, it really could, and I wouldn't be shocked by it. You made a point that I thought was pretty interesting, Tom. You said the defense hasn't been what people might have expected, and I look at that and I say, wow, just think if that defense rights and shift a bit.
Yeah, they've got some nasty linebackers. Watch Chichi Araguzo. Watch Damian Proby. Watch Abraham Campbell, the safety. He's an NFL player. One of the best pass rushers off the edge, and Tyler Scott. I mean, they've got some athletes. Guys, if you look at these guys coming out of the locker room, you watch some of these guys warm up, and they look like Ohio State football players. Not everybody, but they got more guys that really look like, you know, big-time Big Ten football players. And there's still talent there. Like I said, there's still time. And they have a chance to continue to make strides here. But, again, that's going to be a big test when the Buckeyes roll in there on that Saturday night here in a couple weeks.
Is Michigan the luckiest team in the Big Ten right now?
Yeah, boy, I tell you, Akron, UConn. You know, Taylor DeJuan, their star offensive tackle, said, you know, he didn't care what people said. You know, they're 4-0, they're unbeaten, and it's not figure skating. You know, style points don't count. It's not diving. Style points don't count. So he's right, they're 4-0. And once we get to Thanksgiving, guys, we're probably going to forget about that Akron UConn game if Michigan's 10-0, right?
Absolutely.
But you're right.
You
know? And they've got their issues, too. They're well documented. Of course, Al Borges says they can fix everything that's gone wrong so far with Devin Gardner. We'll see. But the offensive line is disappointed, obviously. And the defensive line, they continue to harp on how they're disappointed with the defensive line, the pass rush. And you guys, you know, football is a simple sport. From Pop Warner to the NFL, it's not really much different. If you don't have good guys up front, you're not going to have a good team.
Absolutely. You got Michigan, Minnesota, Northwestern, 4-0. In the Legends Division, Wisconsin 3-1, Ohio State 4-0, Penn State 3-1, Illinois 2-1 in the Leaders Division. Tom, before we let you go, what's going on with BigTenNetwork.com, and what can people come to the site and working on?
Yeah, there's kind of a neat thing up today. I went up to the first Wisconsin game of the year against UMass and did a story that's posted now that's on a kid that's the Wisconsin football team has sort of adopted. He's battling a severe illness, and just sort of a neat story how the team's embraced this kid. And there's going to be a companion piece on the Saturday morning Big Ten Network football pregame show on the kid and his relationship with the Badgers. So that's up there now with a video clip. And I've got my normal weekly feature stuff up, too. I have a fun thing that I go up a little bit later. I do a weekly quiz. Sort of have fun with the story I construct in a quiz format. And just sort of helping you preview the weekend's games as well. So we've got picks up there. Just any amount of coverage you can imagine for football. And Joe, I heard Joe and Coach K are talking about hoops. And I guess you realize, I think this is the weekend the colleges start practicing hoops, right?
It absolutely is, and that was my next comment to you before we let you go, is hoops, 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 and we're still in the early stages of football.
Can you believe that? I mean, yeah, hoops is here. It's the league looks like it's going to be pretty good again, despite some key losses. I'm excited to see how Indiana comes together. I'm excited about Iowa, Fran McCaffrey and that team up there. Could be sort of a fun squad to watch. And, of course, what Michigan State, I think, is a preseason number one in some circles already. Michigan will be okay with Robinson and McGarry. So, yeah, I mean, the conference hoop-wise, boy, just saying those things sort of excites me for basketball, doesn't it, you guys?
Absolutely. Luke Fisher, the freshman at IU's out for a few weeks with a broken, separated shoulder, I believe. And I agree with you at Iowa. If they can fix some issues defensively, they've got some talent there. They could have a nice run in the Big Ten and in the in the tournament.
No doubt. You know what? Chris Collins is getting some good players. He got a kid from Indiana, I think from Greensburg, Indiana, I want to say, a big commitment a week or two ago. So Chris Collins is making some inroads recruiting-wise at Northwestern. You know, and in Painter's crew as well, you know, that they're going to have an influx of some new faces, some transfer guys from four-year colleges that could have an impact. The kid from Seattle and Cornell, and how will A.J. Hammonds continue to develop with the Simpson kid as well up front. So, and then there's Ohio State. You know, it's going to be fun watching that team with Aaron Kraft still really being the leader there. Even without Deshaun Thomas, there's still some pretty good ball players for that man to work with.
Absolutely. Tom, thank you once again for being with us and sharing all the information on the
Hey, you guys, I love the intro on the Caddyshack audio. That's good stuff.
We'll put a disclaimer on not to try it at home. Again, Tom Dienhart, get on Twitter and follow him at BTN Tom Dienhart. A lot of stuff coming, and it'll lead you right to the articles and things that are going on with the Big Ten Network. Thanks again, Tom. When we come back, we'll continue with the mailbag, the rant, and who knows what else Joe has in store. You've been listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubelar's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubelar's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Ubelar & Son Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit IdeaFusionMedia.com. That's IdeaFusionMedia.com.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Males kid picks his nose.
Okay, you got it.
Come on, buddy. Man.
Don't do it. Don't.
Go. Here he comes. All right, kid. It's your time now. Don't do it. Come on. Come on.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Dienhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show.
Yep, there you are. Go ahead, Coach.
Yeah, Joe, did you think you lost me?
It's a little quiet there for a second. I just thought I'd better jump in. But, you know, I'm going to jump in here anyways. I've got a few mailbag questions for you. And,
well, then we
are
just
you
ready second.
New York and New Jersey love Coach K. Go
Hoosiers!
Coach K speaks the truth!
Woo! Now I'm ready.
Okay. There we go. Okay, the first one is from Washington. The gentleman's name is Mark. Coach K, IU picked up a recruit this week, lost a couple others. What is your opinion on the recruiting of the Indiana basketball team?
Well, I'm a little nervous, and I think a lot of IU fans are. Now, I do believe IU is going to end up with some class recruits. We've got a nice freshman group that is there already. So it's not that the cupboard's bare. I think the kid out of North Carolina was a great find. I think we beat out the Tar Heels for him. He's supposed to be a pretty good shooter, but we're going to need more than that. I'm trying to understand what is the reason that we seem to be falling short, and I'm just wondering if it's not the stockpiling coming back to bite, not just IU, but other schools in the butt, and kids leave and decommit, and again, I'm going to go back to the way it was for years, and believe me, I'm for progress, folks. Everything has to change or adjust or grow, but you make a commitment to a young man, they make a commitment to you. But we've seen in recent years with Kentucky and different schools, IU to just a small degree, I don't want to disparage Coach Green and his staff at all, that these commitments are not being made, that we have young men who are not making a total commitment, but we also have coaches. And we're coaches are the adults. Coaches are the guys that are experienced, and they're not making commitments. They're signing you and saying, look, we'll give you a scholarship, and then they're pushing you out after a year if you're not what they want, or 2 years. And there will have some people that disagree, but as much as this is a business, Mark, it's still college basketball, and we're still teaching people. And I still go back to what I believe, and it's a truth from the creation of mankind through the Word of God. Your yes means yes and your no means no. And maybe we need to get back to doing that and being the one university that when we make a commitment, we stick to it all the way, come hell or high water. How about that, Joe?
Okay. Yeah, that was kind of the truth. No.
I've got one before you go to the next one.
Okay.
I've got a question here. This is from Tyler in Montgomery. Coach K and Joe, heard the show might go on the radio. It sure would make it easier to listen to live. What's the scoop? Well, Tyler, I'm going to throw that over to Joe because he's kind of the executive producer of the show, and let him answer that.
Well, without getting into specifics and naming names, we have to get a signature on a piece of paper, and it's neither Kenny's or I's. We'd sign in a heartbeat. And until we get that signature, we are kind of in limbo. And between you and I and the fence post, if we don't get any action on it pretty soon, we got some other avenues we'd like to venture into, because we do realize, I mean, I'm out all the time, and people tell me it would be a lot easier to listen to if it was on the radio, including my father-in-law, who doesn't own a computer. You know, I've taken an iPad over to him a couple of times, let him listen to rebroadcasts, and, you know, he'd love to listen to it. And if he was able to hit a switch and listen, he would. And I know that we got a lot of people at Kimball and Master Brand and other places, not just in Jasper, other places that don't allow streaming anymore, and they'd love to be able to turn the radio on and listen to the Coach K and Joe show. So basically, it's out of our hands. We're willing to do what we have to do to get it on. So anyone out there that has a radio station I think would help put us on, hey, give me a call, 812-630-2449. Okay, Coach,
all right,
here's
thanks
another
for the question.
Question,
Tyler. What's next, Joe?
This question is from Jerry Jasper. I don't know if you've expanded on this at all or not, or yet or not, but he wanted to know what you thought about the proposed three-class system in sports in Indiana.
Well, that's great, because the question I have here as well is from Chad in Newburgh, and he wants to know my thoughts as well on that. Well, I'll tell you what I think, and this is my thoughts, and I tweeted Commissioner Bobby Cox. The word is that the Coaches Association, which I used to be a part of and sat on the board at one time, is going to talk about reorganizing the class basketball system to three classes. I don't know a lot of specifics from there. Here's what I think we ought to do, and I'm very much open to criticism, critique, or whatever of my thoughts. I think we ought to have the semi-state winners of all the classes feed in to what would be an Elite Eight and go from there to a Final Four, and we would end up with great representation from all size schools. We would have great focus in Indiana on the tournament as it comes to a conclusion, and we would have a one state champion. And we could work out the dynamics and the logistics of it all, but I still would like to see a one state champ. And I think the state of Indiana would find those last two weekends tremendously entertaining, appealing. There would be great media coverage, combined media coverage. There would be great focus, and I think it would also catch national attention. Those are my thoughts on that. Again, there would be some logistics and dynamics that would have to be taken care of, but I don't see going from four classes to three as helping the situation any. I don't get that. In the end, I think the focus should be to have one state champion. And there is great credibility, great emphasis and tradition when you want a sectional in the one-class system, when you want a regional in the one-class system, when you want a semi-state in the one-class system. Folks, if you don't believe me, go back to the period when the one-class system was in place and talk to some of the people that played on those teams. Talk to some of those guys about the teams that they played against that end up winning. I mean, to me, it's always going to make sense. I don't want to take away from the success, at least in the southern part of the state, of the Forest Parks or in the Indianapolis area of the Park Tudors and things like that. I don't want to take away from that success. But I still think that they could have great representation as you feed into a Final Four and get one state champion. And that is my thought. One last question before we go to Kurt Duxell and start talking a little bit about Southridge football, the pack, and rant a little bit. I have a question from Scotty, and he says, Coach K, what are your thoughts on gold and silver? Scotty, this sounds like the Microsoft question last week. Precious metals, make sure you got a little money in them, especially in an inflationary period. That's where you want to hold gold and silver. And that is my thoughts. Joe, anything else?
That's all I have.
Well, do you want to go to break, or you want to bring Kurt right in, or what do you want to do, Joe?
Let's go ahead and bring Kurt Duxell in. And Kurt, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you guys?
Oh, it's always a pleasure to get to the end of the show and know that we have Kurt Duxell to ramp things up. Kurt, talk to us about those Southridge Raiders before we do anything else.
Nice game last week against South Spencer in the rain down in Rio. Another shutout. They've gone 11 straight quarters without giving up a single point against two decent programs. And tonight, 4-1 Southridge, 4-1 Tell City on the turf at Raider Field on WBDC 100.9 FM. Should be a nice night for football. Looking forward to it.
To our Tell City listeners, I'm sorry, but I'm going to tell you, I think the Raiders are going to run all over you, Marksman, even though you're having a nice season. I've seen some highlights of the Raiders, and they just look like they've got everything going. And this week they are number 9 in the coaches poll, I believe. So, Kurt, is that backfield for the Raiders, are they as quick and strong as they look?
They're very quick and they're very strong. They've got to do everything back in Connor Craig, who is really, really fast, and he's really, really strong. He's had some big plays, but he's also had some tough yards. He's good for two or three big plays. I'm talking 70, 60, 80 yards in each of the games so far. That doesn't happen very often. They've got two other backs. Their fullback, Aiden Mitchell, is really big and strong. And they've got another wing back in that wing T, Alex Householder, who is really, really good as well. So they're a tough matchup when they start running that wing T against people.
You know, when we look at the conference overall, the pack, You've got a Tell City team that's gotten better. You've got a Gibson Southern team that is getting a lot of press. And I know we talked last week about that matchup at the end of the year, and Southridge has really been able to dominate that matchup. When you look at the rest of the conference, what are your thoughts on a few of the teams?
Well, I know that Gibson Southern and Heritage Hills play a game tonight at Heritage Hills, and that should tell you a little bit about where Gibson Southern is. Heritage Hills trying to dig out from their early season slow start, but they were without their quarterback, Logan Wilkerson, who is back. So, you know, that's another team that Gibson Southern down through the years had trouble with, as have everybody else in that league, Heritage Hills. So that's going to tell you a lot about the league. It seems like everybody's matching up this week. You know, the four top teams in the league going at it with the Tell City Southridge and the Gibson Southern Heritage Hills game.
With the new head coach at Southridge, it just looks like things just have continued on. And I know you mentioned last week that, you know, he continued to stay with some of the things and then has brought some new wrinkles. But I also think you feel like the consistency of a veteran staff who's been through it before has really made a difference in keeping this train moving forward.
Well, and I think it really has, because those players know what to expect out of the guys that remained on the staff. And Coach Beening has really stressed a lot of the physicalness and the conditioning parts of things. The game plans are basically the same as when Coach Murphy or Coach Hanna were there. But some of the little things, little tweaks have been outstanding. And what's amazing about that program, and I'm around a lot of programs, coaches, no matter in programs that are successful, sometimes the players will give you some pushback. But I've never been around a group, and I've been around some really good programs, whether it be baseball or basketball or football, that you still get some pushback, no matter if the coach has been there 30 or 40 years or two or three. But I just don't see it. Anything that they throw out there, these guys grasp and try to do the best they can. And if you're a coach, and I know how much you would appreciate this, it's unbelievable what these players do and how they respond to things. So I think that's been a big part of their deal as well.
Well, that sounds like to me you've got a hungry group of kids who understand that it's their job to get out there and play and do what needs to be done and do what they're told, asked to do. I don't like to just say told to do, because you work with players. You don't just handle them. You work with them. They're people.
Right.
You got to work. And it sounds like that group understands that success is out there for them, and that let the coaches do what they need to do and the players do what they're supposed to do.
Oh, that's right. They allow the coaches to coach, and they're boosters, and their parents are very supportive, because that's the culture they've created through those other two coaches down through the year. So it's a lot of fun. You know you're going to have a lot of fun, and it's going to be a big-time event when they start playing football, especially tonight when a 4-1 Tell City team comes in.
All right, I'm going to switch gears on you, Kurt. Joe threw this at me at the beginning of the program. He said, Coach K, what do you think about wild card teams celebrating getting in, celebrating as if they won their division? Your thoughts on it, Kurt? If you were listening, you know my answer, but I want to know what you think about it, because you're a baseball guy.
Well, I wasn't listening. Sorry, I was working. But it depends on where you are as a program or as a franchise. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the Pittsburgh maybe celebrating a little bit on what they've done. Not whole hog celebration, but just recognizing what they've done. But there's other teams that say, hey, we're not finished with business yet, and they go about their way in a different fashion. So, you know, that's where I am on that.
Well, you know, my thoughts on it are everybody's going to do what they feel they want to do. I don't think that they've won anything. Therefore, I think the celebration should be muted. But I do get your point on a Pittsburgh who's waited a long, long time to hold it together down the stretch, which they couldn't do the last few years, and get themselves in and have a chance to play in October. So it's got to be exciting for them. Your Fins up. fins up. Your Dolphins continue to show that they might be a team to be reckoned with, Kurt. What's the turnaround? What's going on? What is it? Just the balls bounced their way, or have they really made the strides they need to make?
Well, I just think that anytime you throw a defense out there like they can, and a development of a quarterback, and again that culture that they have, they've went on the road and beat the Colts, a good team, good franchise. Then they go and beat an Atlanta team that's a playoff contender every year. And that just, you know, gets the ball rolling a little bit, and they're doing a great job. It's, you know, last week they won late, which always is a good character builder. This week a little different circumstance. They go to New Orleans and take on another team that's really, really good on their home turf in the Superdome. So, you know, I would like to say you're going to find a lot about the Dolphins in this game, but I think we know what they're all about right now. So a setback here is not very discouraging, but it'd be nice to go in there and win. But I just think that they got a good team, and it's playing out that way.
Well, you know, you talk about that game with New Orleans. I believe both teams are undefeated. So you're in New Orleans, the Superdome, you know, so much has been played in there, and it's been the site of big tournament games and NFL games. It's so big, first of all. It's just huge. I don't know what the home field advantage really is there. But I would think that you, regardless that you're downplaying this, Kurt, you got to have these little butterflies inside because you are a big Miami fan. Boy, what a win we would get. But what a win would be going in there and beating an undefeated team.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And more than the Superdome or how big it is, it's the fact that you got to deal with Drew Brees. And I'm not a big thing on, even in basketball or baseball, and it's a mindset. I'm not big on road game, home game. It's about playing the other team, and that other team is really good with Drew Brees and those guys. So I think that's going to be the biggest problem. Marcus Colston, Brees, they've got a good defense. You know, Sean Payton's got it rolling like, you know, he had before he got suspended. So that's the bigger thing, how to deal with the Saints. I think the crowd is in minor detail compared to dealing with the Saints. But, yes, if they get a road win, that would be really good. I'd be extremely happy.
How about Peyton Manning with Denver? Does the media overhype him every year? I mean, he is surgically cutting up the defenses, but do we sometimes put him too high up that the only place he can go is to fall? I mean, it takes so much to win in any league. It takes so much to play at the level he plays at. He's obviously talented, as much physically, just mentally, he's just great at what he does. But do we put him up so high because he does it so well? He has no place to go but fail come playoff time.
Right. He gets a question about his playoff record because he plays so well during the regular season. But, you know, in the playoffs, you're playing against another good team too. I mean, they try, they practice, they pay their players millions. And last year, you know, it was another Peyton Manning playoff collapse. But the matter of the fact is, Joe Flacco threw that ball 50 yards down the field and went over some Denver defensive back's head, and it was caught for a touchdown, and the Ravens win. I mean, is that on Manning? He didn't win in the playoffs, but they make sure that they tell everybody that it was another playoff loss for Peyton Manning. So, I mean, watching that stuff the other night, it was against the Raiders, albeit, but they have it so much, and a lot of it's Peyton. He just, that culture that he creates, that everybody wants to be like him because he practices hard, he studies hard, he comes to meetings and works. He's got people around him. They did a great thing on Monday Night Football. They had all the quality control people on offense, like in college it's graduate assistants, but they call them quality control people, you know, in his ear. He's got an offensive coordinator in his ear. He's got a quarterback coach. He's got, you know, the backups are working with him. It's just a whole big support system in which he creates that kind of culture. He had the same thing with the Colts. It's that guy, he's amazing. I mean, I'll take him going into the playoffs if you're going to give give him to me. I'd more than welcome him on my team.
Yeah, I think it really, Kurt, I get so disappointed, upset, mad. I'll be honest. I get pissed off at some of these Skip Baylesses and of the world who want to they're really talking him up, and then they're quick to say playoff collapse. Not Skip as much as a few of the other guys, but when I look at him, I just think he just has nowhere to go. If he doesn't win a Super Bowl, he's looked up at as a failure. You said it best. Ball thrown 50 yards, gets by a guy who turns the wrong way. And let's not forget, the Ravens went on to win the Super Bowl. So they didn't just get beat by a team in the playoffs. They got beat by a team that went on to win the Super Bowl.
And, you know, in team sports, that's why they call it a team, because it's a team effort when you win, led by a good player, and it's a team effort when you lose, maybe because somebody on that team did not play well individually. So, but it looks like Denver, with the way they've went about things, they surround him with a good defense. And a lot of the Colts fans, it's been, you know, debated. Does he have better personnel around him or better weapons now than he did with Indianapolis at any time? I mean, he's got some guys. When you're talking about Welker and Demaryius Thomas and the running backs that they have and the defense that they have, you'd be hard-pressed to say that he didn't lift some of those Colts teams to higher ground, because, again, they spent a lot of their money in Indy on a select few, and they were always, you know, looking at the waiver wire or signing guys at bargain basement prices because they've exerted so much money on Manning and a few of his weapons that maybe in Indy he was doing a lot with less there. And at Denver, he's getting set up pretty good.
I would have to agree with you, Kurt. I think that a lot of times when you have a great player who lifts up the team around him, they do that over a period of time, they're penalized in the end because they can't win it all every year. But, you know, it used to be if you won one Super Bowl, that made you a great quarterback. Now you got to win a couple. And in Peyton Manning's situation, even if he'd have won a couple, I'm not so sure he still wouldn't catch the flack he gets. Does he bring some of it on himself? I don't know. One thing I do know about Peyton Manning is he is available. He doesn't duck the media. He doesn't duck the windows of opportunity he has at this point in his playing career to do commercials or parodies or whatever he might do. I think the guy is just a phenomenal multitasker, and I think you see that on the field, the way he is able to move people around, change plays. And I know other quarterbacks do it, but as some of the guys who have played in the NFL have said, you just don't realize how much more he does it than anybody else until you played against him or played with him.
Right. He's, you know, he basically runs things, or he does a heck of a job making it appear that he does. Some of those theatrics I think you can do without, but I'm not going to argue with the success he's had.
Yeah, I know Jeff Saturday, who's an ESPN analyst, and I think he does a great job, good communicator. He is, and you know, he has just had nothing good to say about his time with Peyton and just how well he does. And I like Peyton Manning. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to be an apologist for that. To watch him, the precision, the throws, the number of different receivers. I know this. If you're a receiver on the Denver Broncos, you got to love playing with Peyton Manning behind center, because there's a chance you're going to get that ball at some point in that series of downs. So, pretty exciting as far as I'm concerned. Let's jump over to something we've talked about a little bit on the show before you came on. We got the hoop seasons upon us, Kurt, whether you think it's time or not. College basketball is going to be opening up, practices, media days, all this other stuff. I gotta ask you, Kurt, Luke Fisher with the Hoosiers is injured. A couple weeks, he's going to be out. Do we let these guys on the college basketball? Are we getting them in the gym too soon? Are they doing the competitive workouts too soon? What are your thoughts about preseason college basketball and as we open up into regular season workouts for college basketball?
Well, to get those guys conditioned the way they want them. I mean, we just got done praising, and I did, you know, like the Southridge football conditioning and how some of these teams condition. I just think it's some of that stuff is it's a nature of the beast. You're going to get guys banged up when these big bodies are running up and down the court or banging into each other and doing things. But to be successful, you've got to put in the time. And it's Fisher. Who was it the other day that got hurt up there? One of those other freshmen, I think.
I can't remember.
And you know, that's the thing. You know, Yogi Ferrell didn't go down. Wilson, he didn't go down. I want to see some of these guys play before we deem this as a big deal. And even Crean said they'll be back before you know it. It's just a little minor setback or whatever. Kind of like recruiting until they show up on campus or they do something in a game. You know, that's not a concern to me. But I just can't believe it. It used to be October 15th, high school, college. You know, for you guys, that was Christmas Day, and was that way to the players too. But we're talking the end of September, and now even like the exhibition games and some of the real games are starting. I know Indiana's playing USI like October 26th already in that neighborhood. But I think that part is too early. You know,
it probably is. Are you pretty excited about USI getting that opportunity?
Well, I think Indiana's done a nice job because you get those exhibition games. You don't play the AAU teams and the Marathon Oilers or the foreign teams anymore. I think this is a really good situation for these Division I teams because you get a team that's going to be prepared, that has a system. You know, Indiana's brought in U of I, Indianapolis. They've brought in Hanover, Grace, guys with, you know, some of those guys have coached at those levels, have been there 20, 30 years. You talk about the Paul Pattersons and Beth. You know, all those guys, and I think it's going to be neat for USI, and Indiana's done a nice job of spreading that around and letting these different programs get a chance to play at Assembly Hall, and they get some cash for it, and they also get to play and help them, their program, too, against obviously a good team. So I'm looking forward to seeing the Eagles play Indiana.
I think it's exciting. I would like to see the Purdue's, the IU's, the Notre Dame's do more of that with the teams here in Indiana. I think it's great for the state. I think it's great for the fan base. And you can say, well, you know, these major college schools have a lot to lose, Coach K, if they would lose in an exhibition game. I don't think they're going to lose in an exhibition game. But if they did, just think how exciting that would be from the standpoint of how the fan base looks at their team moving forward into the season. But more than anything else, it gives all those coaches an opportunity as they're going after the better players for their level, to be able to say, and we've got an exhibition game at Mackey Arena, and we've got an exhibition game at the Joyce Center. I mean, I think that it just helps the state and the mystique of basketball here in Indiana.
Well, it's like these rum-dum football games that these teams play. If you're going to go pay somebody, you know, $600,000 to come in and play you if you're Purdue in Indiana, then you need to bring in Indiana State or other – keep it in the state. And I think, you know, that's what these basketball games, and that's what the approach was with Crean and the Painter to a certain extent. I know Patino in Louisville has brought Kentucky Wesleyan down. Or if you have a relationship with a coach, I know the USI, they played at Tennessee before in that little these exhibition games. If you have the relationship with the coach, you know, Rodney Watson at USI has had relationships with other Division I coaaches. So I think it's really neat that they do that because keeping things in the state and developing those relationships are really good.
Joe, are you still with us, buddy?
He's working.
I know he's muted, so maybe
he's the one. He's the one that's got to keep this show going. So
I'm here.
Okay, Joe. I know we got just about a minute or two left. Kurt, 49ers get a win last night, so they get out of their doldrums. Anything you want to touch on before we say goodbye for another week?
Well, I just want to wish the Boilermakers luck tomorrow. They play Northern Illinois. That'll be a tough game. Notre Dame and Oklahoma. Indiana's idol after their disappointing loss to Missouri. So they get a regroup for Penn State coming in next week, which I'd like to think that's a winnable game. But
you never know. So the college football is going to be good. You've got some decent matchups. You've got LSU and Georgia. You've got Arkansas and A&M. So looking forward to the weekend of football as always.
Yeah, we'll see how Braxton Miller does coming back against Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Joe, it's been a good show once again. We want to thank, obviously, Kurt, Tom Dienhardt from the Big Ten Network, Bill Somm, Kyle Kendall for coming in, talking a little bit Jasper soccer. What a great year they're having.
I love
Joe, you take us home, buddy.
Okay. Well, Kurt, thanks for joining us. Coach K, great job as usual. For both Coach K and Kurt Nuxell, I'm Joe Milligan, and we'll see you next week on the Coach K and Joe Show.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Ubelor & Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. See you next week.